Greetings to each of you this morning in Jesus' name. Count it a privilege to be in the house of God on resurrection morning and enjoy the fact that we're having communion. It is a little bit of a struggle to know which part to look at, which part of the story. And I'm curious where you are in the story. Did you get all the way through and reading about what Jesus did? My problem was, as I read the story, I got too distracted, and anyway, I invite you to John 20, where he gives us this verse. Talks about, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And it is interesting to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the other accounts, the eyewitness accounts, and the things that they bring out. It's fascinating. If you want to really dig into the, there's just so many places we could go, but verse 31 is where I'm after. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Why do we read the stories? Why do we reflect on what he did for us? There is a purpose. And is my question for you this morning is that purpose being fulfilled in your life? Is that purpose? What is the purpose? That we might believe, right? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Why? What is the end result of believing? Believing is not empty. Believing in Jesus brings life. Believing in Jesus brings life. And the message title this morning is Jesus, Our Life. What does it take to get you alive? Are you alive this morning? Y'all are so quiet. Are you alive? Are your spiritual tires a little flat? Do you need a little air? I had the sad privilege to go to a memorial this week. Our young neighbor, 20 years old, was T-boned last week, or let me think, whenever it was, the week before on the way home from work. And they had a memorial for him. Actually, it was a viewing and short memorial service, but Trenton was 20. And I saw Trenton driving by. I think I might have talked with him once, laying there in the casket, so young. If you compared him to his grandparents that were sitting on the bench, Brother Paul knows them, John and Evie, Richie, they were the ones that are aged, seemed like it was about their time to go. But Trenton went instead. He was 20. And his life was taken in an instant. I don't believe that he even knew what hit him, that he was gone that quick. I believe he was taken in an instant. When we think of life, it's hard for us to really think about what we have until we see death. And that is only physical death. We're only talking in this little story about Trenton, physical death. Think about spiritual death. What is it to depart from God for eternity and to be cast into hell in judgment for sin and separation from God in the presence of the devil and all the demons? What is the second death like? It's hard for us to imagine. And what's important this morning is not when we die. What's important to Trenton is whether or not he knew Jesus and where Jesus was in his life. And so one of the questions we need to ask this morning is, what is our life? What are we excited about? What makes us alive? What are we living for? Yes, in studying this message, I did come across my favorite verse in relation to Christ, John 10:10. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And the text verse is John 14:19, which is very similar. I invite you to John 14. Turn with me there. Jesus here says, let not your heart be troubled. He's going to prepare a place for us. And part of the events of him leaving means that he will send the Comforter. And in these verses about the Comforter, in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. And this is the text phrase, because I live, ye shall live also. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith to him, not Iscariot, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. We could keep reading. A lot of good verses here, especially, it's hard not to read verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And Jesus was telling them, and he wants us to know today, that I'm going to heaven to prepare a place, but I will be with you. I will be in you. Particularly fascinated with verse 20. In that day that ye shall know, and he gives three different word pictures. I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The intimacy that we can have with God, abiding in him, and he in us. Because I live, ye shall live also. The first thing that I think that we should never forget is that Jesus is life. Jesus is life. All the life that we have, we owe to Christ, and we think about that from time to time. But it's just good for us to think about all the different aspects, physically, spiritually, the things that we enjoy. Or because Jesus is life. Springtime, we see the earth come to life, the flowers come up, the plant, and then the flower. The beauty that's there, it's because of Jesus. Jesus is continuing to support the universe, which supports the earth, which supports you and me. And we enjoy life because Jesus is keeping it all together. And someday, it will all be let loose. And I don't know how he'll do that. It is fascinating to listen to, I forget what you call them, people that watch the sun and talk about all the ways that the sun is affecting the earth as it goes through the solar storms and the flares. And there's a lot of activity on the earth, and it's because of the sun. I said that backwards from what I meant to say it, but you can say it both ways. There's a lot of activity right now on the sun that's creating a lot of activity on the earth. There's a lot of sun storms that are creating propulsions, and I don't even have all the terms, even though I listened to it, I don't remember it. that are waking up earthquakes, waking up volcanoes around the world. And as the planets aligned and all of those things, it created extra pull. But God is monitoring all that, and he's in control of all that. And one of the things that's fascinating about this man, he always acts like he has something dramatic to say. And when you're done listening to him, you're like, well, and the earth went on another day. And the earth went on another day. And yes, there was an earthquake here, and there was a volcano here. And to the people who were there, some of those events were dramatic. But God is continuing to give us life because Jesus is life. And the fascinating thing about the story of Jesus is that when we connect our lives to him, we can look forward to eternal life. And that's such a beautiful thing. Yes, we sang it, guilty, vile, and helpless we. That was us, but not Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. Jesus was still spotless and pure, the Lamb of God. Romans 5 says it so well. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and because of that we were cursed. And yet, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One of the things that comes out in John 5, I invite you to John 5. As I just read through the book of John, and especially noting all the places where Jesus spoke, so many of them were about the things that he was doing to bring life and how he was going to die, and also a few keys about where he found life. Then in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. We see that who the Father is, the Son is. And there's one more step in that. Who the Son is, we are. Keep reading. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. As I mentioned, there's two things in particular that stood out to me, and one is that because God has life, Jesus has life. And then we take that one step further where we have life. But the other thing that really impresses me is Jesus says that I can do nothing of myself. Everything I do of God. And that's also true of us as Christians, that we can do nothing of ourselves if we are pursuing Jesus and serving him. But one of the things that impresses us as we follow Jesus' life, what did Jesus tell his parents when they couldn't find him? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Like, wouldn't it have been logical to you that you would have right away thought that I would be back here? And that also followed through unto his death. In John 19:28, it said, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. He had fulfilled his earth task. And as he looked ahead in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted to shrug off the burden that he was about to bear. And it was great, but he willingly followed through. And when he hung on the cross for around 6 hours, and he bore the sin of the world, as he followed through with all that, when he realized that all things were accomplished, then he gave himself. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost, it says. He said, it is finished, bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Verse 30 in John 19. And so we see that Jesus' life, that he found his life and fulfilled his life serving God. And I think that's a challenge for us, an example for us to follow him just as he did, that we will find our life just as Christ did as we seek it, and we will be fulfilled living for God. What is better than earth life? We don't know, do we? We don't know by what we've experienced, but we do know by what we read in the Word. John 10, turn with me there. One of the things that impressed me is all the things that Jesus said. And if Jesus would have died and not risen again, all this would be just empty chatter. But it isn't empty chatter because Jesus said it and then he fulfilled it. John 10, verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And he says it very clearly that everyone else who came before him was what? A thief and a robber. What is a thief and a robber? A thief and a robber says they have something that is not theirs. And when Jesus came and says, I have eternal life, he had eternal life. There are many other people who will tell you about a way to get to heaven. But if it doesn't line up with what Jesus taught us, it's empty. Jesus is the only one that has eternal life. There are many other thief and robbers, even today, that will tell you what it takes to be saved and stay saved. But if Jesus didn't give it to us in his word, it is nothing. Jesus came to give us abundant, to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. Keep reading in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Is he talking about the Old Testament saints? And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Here we see that Jesus voluntarily gave his life for us at Calvary. And that's hard for us to imagine. You know, Trenton's life was snuffed out in a moment. He didn't make that choice. God did. Story is told of, and there's a number of stories. You can read the stories of the Titanic and people that gave their spot so that someone else could be saved. Stories of, I just read the story of I believe it was a Confederate soldier that was captured, and they randomly chose 10 men that would be killed with the firing squad, and then they would work out the arrangements for possibly a soldier exchange of the rest. And in this group of 10, there was a man, he was a middle-aged to older man who had a large family. And as the soldiers examined those chosen, one of the young men said, "You know what? You have a wife and family." He said, "I want to take your spot." And so they traded spots, and the young man gave his life. And that moves us. We think about those things. And yet Jesus did that for us. Think about where we would be in eternity without Christ. And Christ didn't go to hell for eternity, but he gave his life so that we don't have to. And I don't know what it was like to be totally exhausted from a sleepless night, maybe nights, many nights that weren't that great, and then carrying your own cross and stumbling under that. The crown of thorns that he wore and hanging on the cross and giving your life. I don't know what that was like. But it's meaningful to me that he did that voluntarily. He gave himself. And as he hung there, he died because he willingly gave his life for my sin on the cross. Well, we know that that is not the end of the story, but as we read in verse 18, says, "I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." Jesus rose from the grave. Yes, the triune God was there, the Spirit, and God the Father had part in the resurrection. Jesus also had that power. And it's also mentioned there in John 5. Turn with me to John 6. It's reading here more of Jesus' words to us. Jesus answered in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I am come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said, murmur not among yourselves. No man come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. The living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. For he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up, excuse me, where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Therefore he said, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said unto him, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus is the bread of eternal life. What am I doing with Christ? Where is he in my life? You know, Jesus has revealed himself to us in his word, in the emblems that we partake of. And in a sense, those are physical things, but it is much deeper than a physical experience. It is a spiritual experience. We believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth. And then we walk following him in obedience, or else we turn from him in disobedience. What are we doing in our hearts this morning? Where are we? Today, Jesus is sharing his eternal life with those who will come to him and partake. This morning, it's not because we are worthy. No, it's because he loves us. It's not because we can earn it. It's not because we can pay for it. No, it's because he has given. The question for myself this morning is, where am I seeking life? Where am I seeking life? And we need to be honest with that question. I think we looked at that in our council service as well. This morning, life is found by believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus is life, and if we join ourselves to Christ, as we looked at some of those opening verses, Jesus in God, us in Jesus, Jesus in us, if that's where we are, enjoying intimacy with Christ, then we have this eternal life. And it is not something that fades as earth life fades. It is something that can grow. It is not something that lets us down when someone dies. No, it only grows because we look beyond this life into the next. And I'm so thankful this morning that as we live in a falling, failing world, as things crumble around us, that we can look to life that is eternal. This morning, I am thankful that Jesus shed his blood to save me from my sin, and that through him, I can have abundant life. Thank you, Jesus.